Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to share a story how we saved your life, you're more than welcome to get in.
I tell you, somebody stole my credit card. Yeah, for sure. If we have saved your life, made your life substantially better.
Yes.
And listen, if you can't get in because the lines are full, keep calling.
That happens.
Keep calling.
You know, you guys were talking about the lottery, about you can have what happened in the Granato household or what happened to Lewis. Lewis says this show saved his life. Show's taken years off my life. So it's a lottery on both.
It's either way.
It's either way.
It can go either way. That's what we're saying.
It's killing you.
More people more people we save lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less people
if not for my supreme genetics and the whole quote-unquote black don't crack thing, you know how bad I would look? I'd be like, I look like a 50-year-old man because of this show.
So, let's get to this roster because that's what Lewis wants us to do. So the Texans finished 23rd as far as rosters go. And there's some empirical data of a breakdown.
Right.
And they have the entire – like teams have elite players, above-average players, average players, and below-average players. The Texans have two above-average players, Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt. They are above-average. They don't consider them – J.J. would have been elite a few years ago. He's not elite anymore. And Deshaun is on his way to elite. He's just not there yet. The elite quarterbacks – are Mahomes and Lamar. They even had Tom Brady as an average quarterback, which is accurate. That's accurate, right. So they've got David Johnson, Duke Johnson, Will Fuller, Laremy Tunsil, and Justin Reed as average NFL players. They all rank in the 70s. They have a score of 70s. They, in the rest of the Texans lineup, offensively and defensively, is all below average. They all rank below 70. Zach Cunningham was 68.6. I would call Zach Cunningham at worst, he's not a below average NFL player. Zach Cunningham is not a below average NFL player.
No, he is.
And Bradley Roby finished with a 64. Bernardrick McKinney, 65.8. I don't know. I'm not so sure that what they consider, because at 68.6, I don't know what their grading system is, but I do know that Zach Cunningham played really, really well last year.
Let me get to some of your PFF. I know you're big into Pro Football Focus. I'll get to some of their grades for you if you'd like, and we can find out, you know, where exactly they are.
Well, you're the numbers guy. I am a numbers guy.
That is true.
I'm not saying that's not true. Well, these are Pro Football Focus numbers.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, well.
The ESPN used Pro Football Focus numbers to break this down. Huh. And so,
Zach Cunningham's up there pretty high, though.
Well,
Pro Football Focus has him fifth.
Well, they've got him at 68.6 as a below average player.
Okay, what exactly is this? Again, because this is, they're showing Zach Cunningham, I believe, fifth on here, but my stuff is locked, so I can't see it.
I don't know. All I know is that you had to be in the 70s to be above average, or an average player. Mm-hmm. You had to be in the 80s to be above average, and then you had to be, I believe, in the 90s to be elite. So Zach Cunningham finished at 68.6, which is just shy of 70. I would disagree with that. But that's neither here nor there. Bradley Roby played pretty damn well. Is he a number one corner in the NFL? Yes, he's a top 30
cornerback.
Okay, so
cornerback. If C is an average, let's do a grade card, right? Five grades, okay. A, B, C, D, and F. Right. Let's do that. And A is an all pro. A is a top level player. We're not just doing it like kids at school, like I got an A in PE. Nope. This is in nuclear science. Okay. So I would say the Texans, I don't know if they have any A players. I think Laremy Tunsil and Deshaun Watson are in the neighborhood of a B+.
So just for reference here,
yeah,
they've got DeAndre Hopkins at 87.8. He's not an elite player. He's an above-average player. So this is a tough grading. This is one of your professors that is a really, really, really tough grader because by all accounts, DeAndre Hopkins is a top three receiver in the league.
DeAndre Hopkins is an A. He's an A player.
He's an A player.
Production,
they've got him as a high B. He's a B+ player.
I would say DeAndre Hopkins is an A player. I would say Deshaun Watson and Laremy Tunsil are in the neighborhood of B+. But I don't think it's outrageous that they could obviously get up to the A category this year. Maybe some would argue Laramie's higher. We'll see. We'll see. But once you get beyond that, you know, I don't know that – I think Roby is probably a C+, which means a plus average player, C being an average player. And I don't – once again, it's tough because you we're used to C's being – oh, you don't want C's. You want A's and B's. But if C is what the average player in the NFL is, the average starter, not average player, the average starter, then I would say he's a plus average player, which is fine. That means I would put him at a C. He had a good year last year, probably a B- year in that neighborhood. But I think overall, you may judge him as an average player. Now, I work off of this. I've kind of changed my notion. Most, and I did this through working with Tyler Oberle, who is used to be an analytics director with Tampa. What he showed me was basically, Lance, most of the league is for the purposes of what we're talking about, a 6.1 player in my grading scale. So what he's saying is, you know, most of the league, most of the starters are average starters. Most of the league, 65% of the league are average starters, 60 to 65%. And then the rest of the 35% are on the higher side. And it can be up to 40% or on the worst side or higher side. You get, you know, levels of higher average and lower average. There's levels of it. But if you work off the knowledge that an average player looks like an average starter, it's tougher for the Texans. I think Carlos Hyde was an average starting running back last year, actually.
Yeah.
I think he's an average starting
running
back.
He was over 1,000 yards. No, yeah. He was good.
Yeah, I think he's what an average starting running back can look like. Now, he doesn't have the 3 years in a row of being average.
So there are three guys that ranked ahead of DeAndre Hopkins: Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, and Michael Thomas. They all graded out higher than DeAndre Hopkins did.
I have a hard time putting Godwin ahead of him.
Yeah. See, well, yeah. And Julio Jones is, where is he?
Man, Julio, but Julio is, you know, Julio's been arguably the best in the league for a little while now.
Right. However, injuries are catching up with him.
And as far as who was the other one?
Chris Kyle and Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I can see that. Thomas is, yeah.
Well, they all graded out just but yeah, okay. So just as a reference, now there's only three in the league that are elite. You could argue DeAndre Hopkins. Well, he graded out on Pro Football Focus at 87, so whatever. So which is a B+. So he's a B+ player. They got TJ Watt as an elite player. Grady Jarrett as an elite player.
Yeah.
Quentin Nelson is an elite player.
Mm-hmm.
They're few and far between. Elite players all grading out over 90. Eric Kendricks graded. Anthony Harris, the safety for the Vikings, graded out over 90.
Their safety stuff is a little, I don't know. Their grades, there are some grades that I'm not in love with. But I get it. I don't, man, an elite safety, maybe I'm just kind of sleeping on Anthony Harris, but I think you need to be making more plays if you're an elite safety. I think some of that gets to, well, he's a very good tackler. He doesn't miss a lot of tackles. Stuff like that is why his grade is higher.
Right. Justin Simmons, the safety for the Broncos, is an elite player.
Is an elite player, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cameron Hayward.
Maybe I'm just too tough on those guys. I don't know.
Well, here's where you're going to go. Well, never mind. Ryan Tannehill is an elite player.
Okay. What else? 713-780-3776. Lance McCullers joins us at 845. I can't take that serious now. He's not. He had a.
I should have never told you.
He didn't say it's an elite player. He said they say it's a high score, right? He scored there in his limited time. That's why these have to be taken in context.
Right.
I'm done with that.
No, it says elite 90
okay.
plus grade.
Well, that's fine. He got paid like it. He is an elite player. There we go.
Yeah.
See,
and quite frankly, you know, if you score 69, don't tell me that Zach Cunningham's a below average player.
He's not.
He's not a below average player. No, because he scored a 68.5 instead of a 70. Okay, don't tell me that. You got to stop. You got to stop talking to me now. Okay, and you put Ryan Tannehill. So Dell, congratulations to the Dolphins. They could have had Ryan Tannehill. Instead, they got Tua.
They did have Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, got rid of an elite player. Congratulations. Stupid.
Yeah, we're all broken up about it, really. And yeah. you know how the Titans are going to feel. How long is the deal he signed with them? I'm sure they're going to feel great.
They're going to feel great
when they lose Derrick Henry because they can't pay him or they refuse to pay him, and maybe rightfully so as a running back.
I think they can get out after 2 years.
I'm sure they're going to feel real good about short-circuiting their quarterback future of Ryan Tannehill.
Listen, mm-hmm. I think everything's going to be fine. You found your Alex Smith of the future. Mm. Everything is going to be fine. Well, you don't have to worry.
I don't have the Titans. I ain't worried about it.
His out isn't going to be until 2022. Until 2022. And that is where, you know, frankly, dead cap, $62 million. You can't cut him now. You can't cut him there. You actually could cut him you could cut him before 2022, but you'd take a little bit of a hit. Or no, yeah. He's actually saved some money.
Yeah, it'd be a $10 million dead cap hit, or dead cap if they cut him after the 2021 season. I feel like he's going to be there till that 2022.
But his base contract is $29
million. Well, so. You got an elite player. Why would they want to get rid of him? Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'll find out when Derrick Henry is trying to get his money someplace else what it'll look like.
So here's your, based on the number of snaps, here's why Zach Cunningham is a 69. I'm looking at it right now. His total ranking for Pro Football Focus is 69. They take into account pass rush, run defense, and coverage. Now, pass rush obviously doesn't – I don't think it matters as much. But because he was in on more coverage snaps, his coverage is going to weigh more heavily on the ranking. And this might make some sense to you. His coverage stats, according to Pro Football Focus, is they gave him a 50, which is not good in any way, shape, or form when you look at it. His stats – in coverage stats, I'll pull him up right now. He was targeted 63 times, 49 receptions, completion of 77.8%. I wouldn't get too caught up in all that because I look at those things for college. There's a lot of times there's nothing a linebacker can do in terms of his coverage stats. So
right. A guy comes out of the backfield or swings out of the backfield, and Zach Cunningham's got to get him from inside linebacker, and you're going to give that a completion against him.
Yeah, you just want the tackle numbers. You don't want a lot of missed tackles. Yeah. He does have 9 missed tackles, which is a little bit high, which is a concern. But his run defense stats are very good. His run defense score, I should say, is 89.2, which is very high. But when they combine, his pass rush is 66. Who cares, really, to me? But I would say I care a little bit more about run defense than coverage numbers. So, depending on – but you have to base it on the amount of snaps he's had at each. And we know this is a passing league, so it probably affects his number more than what we're thinking. Because when we think of Zach Cunningham, we're not thinking of coverage Zach Cunningham. We're thinking of playing downhill Zach Cunningham and flowing sideline to sideline Zach Cunningham and ability to track down a running back and make a tackle Zach Cunningham. And that's more akin to what his run number is, which is an 89 grade, which is on the verge of into that magical Ryan Tannehill territory of 90.
Right.
Where you're elite.
Well, but there's something that you can still strive for, being Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You have to have goals, Lance.
Yeah.
And everybody's goal.
Hey, I do strive to be Ryan Tannehill right now.
Finalist Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, AFC finalist.
I didn't say I don't strive to be Ryan Tannehill right now.
You know who I strive to be?
Who?
Patrick Chastain. That's right. Because Patrick Chastain gives me my Fords at a better price. That's what Patrick and Joe do every single day. Patrick and Joe are, well, I don't want to call them the Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to call them the Patrick Mahomes of car dealers, okay? That's what I'm going to call them, because these guys are the, I think they're the best. I really do. I love doing business with them. They worked my deal. They every painstakingly they worked it to make sure that I could get my payments exactly where I told them this is what I where I got to be at. But I want that car and I want all those options in it. That's what I want. Okay, we'll get that done, and they got it done. And I'm telling you, I love my vehicle, and I love the deal that I got, and it just couldn't be better, and it all was because of the Chastangs. And any service that I need, listen, they'll come and pick up the car, they'll service it, they'll sanitize it, and they'll bring it back to you. That's the kind of service that you're going to get. You want to buy from home, you don't want to go out, you're afraid to go out there, you don't want to go to the dealership, that's fine, because you can do that as well. You can shop online, buy it online, do it, get it all done, which you can't at other dealerships because they don't want to try to upsell you. What I found is that they didn't upsell me at all. They were like, do you like this? Is this what you want? Well, this is obviously, this is a nicer, all these upgrades are nicer. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, but if you don't want that, we got this over here. That's fine too. Whatever you're looking for, you've got it at the Chastang Ford, ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You'll love being part of the Chastang family, Chastang Ford.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Kenley Jansen says he's not going to throw at the Astros.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He says this.
What a good dude.
He says, I feel like we're the true champions in 2017. It should be us. We got cheated. But if we're going to play the Astros this year, I'm not going to throw at them. That's not cool. I don't wish anybody to do that, to throw at people. Just play them and try to be my best. Well, isn't that great? Let me see. When did you get cheated? When Marwin hit the home run off of you in Los Angeles? Case closed. We win. Champions 2017. What?
Yep.
That's right. Oh, so how do you feel you got cheated?
Remember when Chris Sale got cheated when Bregman took him yard in Boston?
Oh yeah, remember how badly he got cheated? You know why? You know why? Red Sox are shutting up because they're the worst cheaters of all.
Red Sox need to shut their dirty whore mouths.
Yeah,
no, and I so agree. Do the Yankees too. So do the Yankees too. John, what are your thoughts on Yankees and cheating? I'm just kidding.
Hmm.
They're gonna get popped any day now.
I got to do my Marge Simpson. Yeah. That's exactly how I feel about it.
So, my credit card number got stolen somehow. Well, really? I don't think it's a huge shock necessarily. I don't know because I got one of those emails that recently our credit cards were all stolen. You know, I can't remember which company it was. I don't want to say a name because I can't remember the company because I've gotten this two or three times and your credit cards may have been, you know, compromised, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just thinking, I'll just keep an eye on it. Well, now, I got a notice on my phone. It said, we just declined a $50 Chick-fil-A order from you. We believe it's fraud. Was this you? Yes or no? I'm like, no. I think it's a $50 gift card. I said, no. So I go to my account and I said, okay, if there's any other, you know, if there's any other things on your account that look suspicious, let us know. By the way, if you try to call us, it's going to be extremely long waits. That was the text message I got back. Sweet. So I go to my account. Let's see. Four to one massage place and one to another massage place for a gift card. So five massage massage charges that are false, and then but they flagged the Chick-fil-A.
False.
They flagged the Chick-fil-A. They're like, hey.
Wait a minute.
What type of massage places?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was it a Robert Kraft massage place?
Well, it doesn't say in the name of the company. It doesn't say Hands R Us.
Does it say Four Hands anywhere?
No, it doesn't say that. That's an aggressive marketing tool to put that in your name.
So, wait, what happened to criminals? Didn't they used to run right to Target or Walmart and just load up? Now they're getting massages?
And Chick-fil-A. Told you that spicy chicken hits different.
No, this is strange, though. It's four to one massage place and one to another massage place. Like,
are they all gift cards?
I don't know.
Well,
I can't.
Well, do you know
why? I was on hold for 40 minutes yesterday and couldn't get through. I guess these just go through.
Well, you know why? It's because they charged it and they get the cash from somebody they know that works there.
Oh, that's got to be it. Yeah,
it's that's somebody. There's somebody on the inside.
Why are they hitting the massage places though?
Maybe that's
where their friend works. Yeah.
What did they maybe want to go ahead and flag that
girl,
when
like
five
Eric
of them
Wong,
show up on
Eric,
one day?
Like Eric Wong's girl works there.
Maybe your previous transactions make that massage thing seem normal.
There's no previous transactions.
Maybe
that's true.
I think the massage thing and them not flagging it speaks to Lance's previous purchases.
No.
Because they're like, look, this dude would never spend $50 at Chick-fil-A. It's not like a Starbucks gift
card. I'll go to that place called, it's in the Galleria called Bamboo something. Not now. But they have, you know, they have the ones where you sit down. And,
there you go. You're a massage
guy. You sit in
a
chair and they go, and you're like, oh, ow, okay, that's good. We're good. And they say, feel better? And I say, I don't know.
Yeah, you keep talking about steakhouses.
This is like,
this is
like your computer knowing what websites you go to and saying, ooh, that's naughty.
Yeah, he tells us the stories about when he's in Indy and he goes to like the less than ideal steakhouses. What about your trip to Exotic Hands that you're not talking about?
Exotic Hands in Indianapolis?
Yes.
Del, you hit on to something.
We have the most
exotic hands
in the business.
You do know that a lot of strip clubs and massage parlors will put steakhouse, so and so steakhouse on the bill.
Or I know Ice House is another one, right? Ice House, something like that.
So that Lance talking about those steakhouses in India are code for something
else.
Oh,
right. Maybe that's what Del was talking about.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how five massages in a day doesn't get flagged, but a $50 GC to Chick-fil-A, they're like, excuse me.
I told you.
I think we're dealing with fraud.
Yeah, because those other things are in line with your purchases.
Five in a day?
That's what you do, apparently.
That's not what I do. No one gets out of a massage and go, that was good, but you know what? I'm still a little sore right here in my right calf. Let me go back in.
Well, I'm not saying you spend it
you
all
again?
On massages. I'm just saying, how does a girl, like, you know, how do they make
Why
the transaction?
Why does that have to be a girl?
Whatever. Exactly. What are you into? I'm not sure. It could be
Why
a guy.
Why do you
I'm
want
sure.
a guy giving you a massage?
Well, we don't know what Lance is into.
He, her, me,
what?
Whatever.
She, them.
You don't know what the pronouns are, Del.
I don't know what
don't
you're
make,
into.
Don't make assumptions about pronouns,
It's
please.
Less about the pronouns and more about what you're into. So I think the credit card company got it right. This dude,
I do like a good massage.
Yeah. So this
not,
is in line
not,
with your purchases.
I don't know this place. I think you're right. I think they just, that's what's happening. Who said that, where they charge you and then they get the cash? Is that the guy from the animals that said that?
Yeah, it was
the guy that ran scams in Chicago?
Yes.
No, listen, a buddy of mine, it was so funny. He goes, his wife is like, yeah, they do this golf trip every year. And, man, they really love this steakhouse there. And because, I'll get the credit card and it's all this at this steakhouse. And I'm like, okay. All right, they love that steakhouse. All right.
Why can't it be a steakhouse?
Because it ain't. I don't know if you've ever seen.
Man, they really like steak.
They really like
steak. Steak every day. Steak twice a day.
And it's an expensive steakhouse.
Hey, why are you at the steakhouse at noon?
That's why they do it as a steakhouse, though, right? Because if it's an expensive steakhouse,
that's what shows up on the credit card.
Steakhouses are expensive.
Honey, so you went to the steakhouse at noon and 2 a.m.?
Yeah, right.
How is this open at 12:30 in the morning, the steakhouse? It's a 24-hour steakhouse.
It's an all-night steakhouse.
It's kind of like an IHOP of expensive steakhouses.
It's a great steakhouse. At 3 in the morning? Yeah.
See, the NBA may need
it's
to
like
open
the
a
Denny's
steakhouse.
Of steakhouses.
The NBA may need to open a steakhouse in the bubble.
So why did they charge you four times within 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, the appetizers. I went back. Separate tickets.
No, yeah. but it's all on your card.
No. But I said, we decided. Oh no, I want another one. No,
I bought
I want
multiple
one.
Gift cards no, for clients. One. Yeah, I got multiple gift cards for clients. Well, yeah, I thought I was full, and we close our tab, and then we're like, let's get some drinks, and we'd open it back up.
But drinks. We ordered a lot of champagne. Room.
We had a lot of very expensive champagne, the best champagne, highest ratings on the champagne.
827. Lance McCullers is going to join us in about 15, 20 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5. We're going to talk about his MMA podcast, The Walkout. And you can go see it right now. Let's give away
two more.
Another pair of tickets to go and watch at Warehouse Live, 4 o'clock on Saturday. Now, if you can't go, don't call. If you can't go, don't call. So we're going to call right now, 713-780-3776. Who wants to go watch the podcast and the fights on Saturday, the MMA fights, the UFC fights, and Lance McCullers and Carlos Correa are going to be there doing their podcast, and you can listen to that while you're watching
the
fights.
You can buy tickets. If you don't win, you can also buy tickets
to
Warehouse Live.
Warehouse, go to warehouselive.com, warehouselive.com. They're for sale. They're cheap. It's easy, but we're giving a couple away here right now. So 713-780-3776, caller number 8 is going to win those tickets right now. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, somebody's getting canceled. Scottsdale City Councilman Guy Phillips. He's got a microphone. He's got a mask on. And he's screaming, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe." And then he took his mask off and he goes,
It was at an anti-mask rally. We have rallies about not wearing something that can help slow down the by the way, that is taking off.
Right. COVID. We played poker yesterday and everybody had a mask on. Everybody.
Oh, it switched.
Yes, everybody.
Well, did they demand
that's
it
been though. The last week or so.
Commercial businesses, you have to.
Yeah, you have to now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to get shut down. So everybody wears a mask. And it's safe. Not one person, not one droplet was spread, not one. It's great. Did you see the family? Now, this is the anti-Dell family. There's a Texas family on ABC13.com. 18 members of a Texas family battling COVID. First of all, who has 18 members? And this can't be immediate. This has got to be including, relatives. Oh, I've got a bunch of that. I got 80 cousins. But they were at a party, apparently, all together, a surprise birthday party. Somebody had it and spread it to everybody. Congratulations. Was Frankie at that party? Let me see. Well, Frankie wasn't there. No. 18 people are fighting it now.
So that lets me know that just tells you how easy it is to spread.
Yeah. Well, nobody's wearing masks. They're all hugging. They're taking pictures together. It's,
I just want to let people know, I look at all of you like you're ticking time bombs. Like,
But you did that last September, didn't you?
I didn't think of them as ticking time bombs. I just thought they're annoying a-holes, so I didn't want to be around them. But now I think of you as disease-carrying ticking time bombs. Mm. Like, why would I want to spend any time with you if I don't have to?
And that's humanity.
Yeah. Are we all zombies to you, though?
Yeah, you can infect me. Yeah, you're a zombie. I'll treat you like a zombie. In fact, but you're less – the problem with you in general, John, but really everyone as a whole, is zombies, you can identify them. Now I just have to assume all of you guys.
Del, can you start playing 28 Days Later theme underneath this?
I'm just telling you, man. Rant? Because at least a zombie will identify. It'll be shambling along. It'll make that noise. The rest of you are like, "Oh, I'm just a normal person who's just want to say hi or we're at the supermarket." Nah, you're all zombies to me.
So we taped our off-script podcast yesterday. And I think it's going to come out next Tuesday. And it's just, there's no guests. It's just me and Eric Layden talking. And at one point, Eric uttered the phrase, you know, the great thing about coronavirus. I said, hold on, stop right there. Are you about to say something is the great thing about? He goes, I said, okay, let's just see if we can come up with five on the spot great things about coronavirus. He goes, okay. And we did come up with three. He said one of his great things about coronavirus. I didn't realize this about him. Okay, so if somebody came up to you in a restaurant, Dell, I'm going to say you too. Dell, John, if somebody came up to you in a restaurant and they go, hey, Dell, hey, John, what are you two guys sitting here together for being best friends? This is weird. Well, I just want to shake you guys' hands because now this is not coronavirus. This is not coronavirus time. This is, I love this music too. This is last December. And somebody goes, hey, Dell, hey, John. What's up, guys? I love listening to The Bench. I just want to shake your hand. And then you're just sitting there having lunch. You're just having a burger, and you shake the guy's hand, right? He wants to shake hands and then walk off. Mm-mm. You shake his hand, right?
No, I'm eating. Mm-mm.
Well, now, before, yes. Not now, though.
I'm like, don't you say I'm eating with my hands? I won't shake your hand.
See, Dell thinks the same way Eric Layden does, and I think the way that you do, John. For me, I'm like, shake hands and get back to business. Eric says the same thing. Why would I want to shake hands with somebody I'm eating? I'm going to touch your hand and then put it back on my burger and
eat? Particularly if I'm eating a burger.
Yeah, that's what this is exactly. And I said, what? I never thought of you guys that way, as you weirdo germaphobes that way.
It's not being a germaphobe. It's common sense. I don't know where that dude or this person
that's
came
what he
from.
Said. And he said, one of the great things about coronavirus, .. is that I get to openly spray my hands with a disinfectant right in front of your face after we shake hands now. if you try to shake hands, and it's no big deal.
No, but you don't even have to now. You just fist bump.
Not even that. Hey, there should be some etiquette. First of all, in a normal situation, I'm eating. You can say hello, but we don't need to shake hands because you know I'm eating. But in this situation, don't expect any type of physical contact. A head nod is all you're going to get from me, and a hello, because You're a zombie. You're a potential walk, and so am I, honestly. What's the matter with you? Stay away.
Yeah, I've noticed, and I'm sure you guys have run into this too, maybe not Dell so much, but when people try, because Dell's not trying to be around people, but have you ever noticed, John, and it's kind of changed in terms of where we are in Harris County. It's ebbed and flowed what people are willing to do. But you have an inconsistency. Some people will do the fist bump. Some people, it's the elbows. Some people just like point to you and kind of just raise their hand like, hey, just my acknowledgement. I don't want to shake hands. And other people will go directly for the shake. And sometimes you do the shake.
No, fist bump. I just go, yeah.
When they go for the shake, you keep your fist, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
That's probably the move.
And that's how it's going to be. Sorry. That's how it's going
to
be.
Oh, look, Dell is grabbing your fist with the hand. So now it didn't matter that you went for fist bump.
Yeah,
you now have it.
No, Dell, because as long as it's on the outside, that's fine. Somebody can touch you, but you don't want anyone touching the inside of your hand.
The germs are still on the outside of your hand, though. So if you happen
what are you doing with the outside of your hand?
I don't know.
You're not touching anything around your face with the outside
of
your hand.
Who knows?
Although now, what I do now, if I've got like an itchy nose or whatever, I will use the back of my hand to like scratch it. And if somebody does that, then I've got their droplets.
Yeah, so there it is. So no touching at all.
Right. No, you may be right. You may be onto something. This is going to be, until there's a vaccine, this is going to be a handshakeless society. That it is. It's going to be a handshakeless society. I honestly, when I'm watching movies now, and there's all kinds of people, I'm like, remember when we could be around people? Remember when we didn't wear masks?
Yeah, I
remember
recognize. It's
remember
weird.
When we shook hands?
It's
people.
Weird when you watch a show and they're just sitting there like they don't have a care in the world next to each other.
A show? I was watching the Premier League. Man U was playing, I think, Tottenham or something. And what's his name? I forgot his name. Damn it. Well, he used to coach at Chelsea, used to coach at Tottenham, but he's coaching Man – or maybe – I forgot. But he was just talking to his former players, and he was like just grabbing around the neck. I was like, what are you doing? I know you all have been tested, but I thought the rules in place were you guys don't have physical contact, particularly if you're not even on the same team after the game.
Talking to them in their face?
Yeah, Mourinho was doing it. I was like, stop grabbing everybody.
Did you guys happen to see Liverpool yesterday?
Yes, it was
did
great.
Did you watch that? Did you this Alexander Arnold kid?
I didn't Holy. See. I didn't see. I just saw the score.
Holy crap! Is he good? He's like 20 years old. He's
Who is
like
that,
unbelievable.
Del?
He is a, like John just pointed out, as a younger player. I don't know how much time he's actually gotten with England as it as an international, but yeah, he's an up and Trent Alexander Arnold is his name.
Man, is he good?
21 Holy years God. Old. If you remember, you might not remember, but he was. If you watched the Barcelona comeback in Champions League last year, he had that sneaky corner kick that gave Liverpool the lead. He was part of that. Yeah, he's one of the one of England's next bright ones. And he's like John said, 21 years old, and really, really good.
Yeah, no, some kind of good. He's some kind of good. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, different world. So Lance, so you no handshake. Just one thing. How about the traffic? When it first started, it was like we were in a ghost town. It was awesome. I could drive to golf courses and I didn't have to.
I'm seeing that again.
And there was no traffic.
I'm seeing that again this morning. I saw it again.
That no traffic.
It looked like a ghost town again this morning. Yeah.
Well, here's the deal: is well, here's one of the good byproducts is that a lot of people are going to be working from home from now on, and there will be less traffic. Period. Period. I mean, there's still some traffic out there now. I mean, there's traffic out there, obviously, but it's not going to be like it was because there's a lot of companies that are going to be, yeah, you can just work from home now. And that is totally sweet, trying to get home, back and forth from the course.
Everything just
everything revolves around him.
Into him.
Commercial real estate people are like, F this guy.
It's all about how quickly
Granato
can I
is
get
the worst that I've ever heard on radio.
From home to the course to poker. That's all it's about.
It's everything. This is really great. One of the great things about coronavirus is that my traffic isn't as bad.
That's his golden triangle. The course, poker house, home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
That is the golden triangle.
It really is.
Yeah. All right, 8:41, let's take a break because Lance McCullers is going to join us. Let's make sure that we're here. We're going to be talking about the Walkout Podcast. It's going to be Saturday at Warehouse Live, he and Carlos Correa, and you can get there. We'll give away tickets while he's on as well, and we'll be giving away more throughout the show, but you can also buy them at warehouselive.com, warehouselive.com. They're cheap, and you can go and watch all the fights and watch the Walkout Podcast. That Saturday starts at 4 o'clock. Doors open at 3 at Warehouse Live. Take a break. Lance McCullers joins us on the other side.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the Lord.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, Lance McCullers is joining us. Is he here?
Working on it now.
You're calling him now? Good. All right, so we're going to have Lance McCullers on with us here in just a minute, talking about his podcast, The Walkout. UFC, huge, huge UFC guy. And hopefully huge, huge pitcher for the Astros this year. Huge. He's going to have a huge year. A dozen starts. I'm putting him on 8 wins this year, Lance.
Whoo! That would put him in contention for whatever the Cy Young is going to be this year.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. They have those things tied to contracts, too. Well, let's bring him in right now. Lance McCullers joins us right now, Astros starting pitcher and one of the co-hosts of the Walkout Podcast. And that is a new podcast that he started this this pandemic season with Carlos Correa. And they are they're putting it out all the time. It's all things MMA. And joining us right now is Lance McCullers. What's up, Lance? How you doing? Thanks for joining us today, man.
Hey, guys. Anytime.
Man, we appreciate you being here. Lance, let's start with a little baseball, and we'll talk about the walkout. We've been giving away tickets, as a matter of fact, and we're going to give away more to come see you and Carlos at Warehouse Live on Saturday. And also, you can go and buy them at warehouselive.com. But let's talk. Okay, is there a little bit of an advantage? You're coming off the elbow. Verlander's coming off the surgery. Granke's a little bit older. A shortened season, is this advantage Astros?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think everything's going to be fine. I think that guy's been working real hard. I mean, I know JV has, you see the bullpens he's throwing. He looks sharp. You know, I've been staying on the same routine that I've been on really ever since I've been healthy from TJ and got back from spring training. I've been throwing live. I threw a 50-pitch live yesterday against Bregman over there at Minute Maid Park. So, you know, I'm hoping to continue to build that volume. My velo was 89.93, you know, and for a live with nothing really on the line, that's pretty good velo for me in that kind of situation. So, you know, I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm happy with the way I've been able to keep myself ready and in shape during this time. So, you know, I don't see any reason that I wouldn't be ready, or, you know, JV or, you know, anybody else.
Lance McCullers joins us right now. You know, so one of the things you and I talked about on my podcast was I think the big concern for you. We could talk baseball all we want and how is this going to work and what's your pitch count going to be. But first and foremost, I know that you guys, now that the season is going to kick off, your biggest concern is going to be safety protocol. What is your understanding in terms of your conversations with the league and just teammates and the team and whatever that may be, the Players Association? What's your understanding of safety protocols, and are you okay with what you've heard so far?
Yeah, I mean, that was part of this process as well. I mean, everybody wanted to focus on, you know, the games and the pay, and obviously that was very important to us as players, especially, you know, for the young guys. That was our main focus throughout really this whole negotiating process, was trying to take care of the young guys who, you know, are dependent and relying on these games and this money to build their future. So along with that also came the health and safety. So we're at a point now where, you know, we feel confident in the system that's in place. It's going to be involving a lot of tests. It's going to be involving, you know, really everything that is being implemented around the city of Houston, the U.S. We're going to be wearing masks. We're going to be trying, you know, stay as far away from people as possible. We're hoping that with being tested so often, we'll be able to kind of create a little bit of, you know, confidence in that aspect, that everyone in there is safe, because, you know, guys are taking risks coming back and playing. You know, guys have family members that, you know, have autoimmune diseases. Guys have family members who have gone through cancer recently, or, you know, have young kids or wives who are pregnant. We have coaches on our staff that, you know, are obviously up in that age range where, you know, people start to, you know, feel a little nervous. So there's a lot of risk involved with this. It's a calculated risk. We feel comfortable with, you know, where we're at. The MLB, PA, and have done a lot of great work talking to the CDC and, you know, talking to leading health officials, trying to determine, you know, the best next step. So I believe we're in the best place we're going to be in. It's going to really be on the players to take it seriously, to, you know, try to isolate when we're not at the field during the season. So, you know, really after this Saturday, you know, live podcast in that warehouse, probably one of the last things, you know, we do publicly, at least I do, because, you know, once spring training gets rolling, you know, I don't want to be a cause or a reason for anyone to have to miss games or anyone to get sick.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened in the MLS. A girl went to a bar and she infected the team, and now they had to shut it down. I would imagine you guys are going to be policing each other, aren't you?
Well, that's the hope. You know, I think everyone understands, like, the severity of the situation. I mean, this isn't something that, you know, if we really want to play, which I know we do, everyone's going to have to take it extremely seriously. And then, you know, for the guys who aren't, they're going to have to, hopefully, the testing and everything else will do what it's supposed to do, and it'll prevent an outbreak. But you're absolutely right. It's going to be on the players, man. It's going to be on the players and the coaching staff and the staff that is there every day in the clubhouse to make sure that we're safe and make sure that we're doing the right things. You know, I'm definitely not going to you know, advise anyone on going to bars during the season or during spring training. You know, and these are all things that the players and all of us are just really going to, you know, speak on and have to, you know, have to hold ourselves accountable.
Yeah. Of course, I meant the women's MLS. 60 games, you guys put pressure on yourself. Every start, you put pressure on yourself, and you want to win. But every single game is so much. It's three times as important as it used to be, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right, man. 60 games is not, it's not a super long season. I mean, it's give or take, you know, we're playing, I think we're going to be 60 games in around 63, 64 days. So, there's not a whole lot of room to, you know, get off to slow starts or, as a team or individually, but that's the situation that we're in, you know, and everyone that's going to opt in to play, it, understands that and, is rolling the ball a little bit, rolling the dice. So, we'll see how it all plays out, but, you know, I know that guys have been doing their work. And guys have continued to stay as active as possible, you know, when it's safe. So, you know, hopefully we come out of the gates hot.
So I want to get into your, I know from going back and forth with you on Twitter a few times that you've been a big MMA fan, our first time corresponding about MMA. And I didn't know that about you. And this is a few years back, was the first time Diaz and McGregor fought, I think, Nate Diaz. But I didn't realize Carlos was such a big fan as well. When did you guys come up with the concept of putting together a podcast? Because I know I'd spoken with you for the last couple years about you doing a show that's really some baseball, but a lot of the other things that you really love as well. And why don't you tell people about how this kind of came about?
Yeah, so yeah, Carlos and I have been lifelong, you know, mixed martial arts fans. Or I think for both of us growing up, it was really more on the boxing end. And then, you know, as obviously the MMA kind of took, you know, the main hold there, probably closer like 2012, 2013, we really started kind of transitioning and falling in love with MMA. And it was one of the first things that we bonded over as teammates. You know, we got drafted together in the same year in 2012. We got sent to the GCL together, and we basically lived together and went every step along the way at the same pace. So it was something that was easy for us to connect over and that we enjoyed. So that's kind of where the initial, like, love for it developed, or, you know, maybe idea of doing something together one day. And then, you know, during this quarantine, we had actually been speaking about it to start it up in the off season. And then we said, hey, man, let's just go ahead and do it now, get a couple belts on, you know, get a couple episodes under our belt, kind of feel for what we're doing. And we've really enjoyed it so far.
What's the fight you have to see that you want to see most?
Well, the fights that the July 11th card is crazy. It's going to be the first card, UFC 251, out there in Abu Dhabi. It's going to be on Fight Island. So you got Usman versus Burns in that card. You got Peter Yan versus Jose Aldo, and there's another title fight on that card as well. So it's Volkanovski versus Max Holloway. So that card is going to be absolutely crazy. I really want to see DC Cormier. DC versus Stipe there in August. And if I had my dream fight, it would be probably Jones versus Ngannou, or it would be I want to see Khabib versus Conor again.
Yeah, do you buy Khabib Conor? I really wanted to see, and I would love to see Khabib versus Justin.
Well, yeah, Khabib and Gaethje are going to fight in September.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They set that fight. That's right, because I saw Gaethje just recently was kind of talking some trash. Who do you like in that fight, by the way?
I mean, personally, you know, I know Carlos is going to be picking Khabib, so I'm going to be doing all the research and breakdown of Gaethje. I've actually been a big Gaethje fan ever since he broke into the UFC a couple years ago. Carlos and I have both really followed his career. We're pretty split on the Ferguson bout, but Gaethje really impressed me. So I hope Gaethje. But for the sake of a Conor versus Khabib for the belt, I would say Khabib wins, and then Conor can go ahead and fight maybe Gaethje. Conor can maybe beat Gaethje and then go and fight Khabib.
You ain't gonna make a living betting against Khabib, are you?
No, you're not gonna make. You're not. You know, so far if you bet against Khabib, you're 0-28.
You're winless.
That dude is just a beast. A beast. Tell us about this, what's Saturday night, and what we'll be hearing at Warehouse Live.
Yeah, man, so basically we're just going to take the Walkout Podcast to the Warehouse Live. You know, we're going to have, you know, a version of our setup there, and, you know, we're going to be recording during the fights, and I think it's going to be pretty cool. You know, I know, you know, that all the safety precautions are being taken. I think Carlos and I are kind of going to be up on the stage, you know, a little bit isolated by ourselves, but you know, UFC Fight Night, Poirier versus Hooker will be on. You also got Gall versus on that card as well. So You know, it's going to be Mike Platinum Perry is the guy he's fighting, who apparently is only going to have his girlfriend as his corner. So it's going to be some entertaining fights on Saturday. Yeah, man. Yeah. Mike Perry, his corner is going to be consistent of only his girlfriend.
All right. That should be – I would want to get away for a little bit. Like, you know
what? I don't know.
I'm just going to get to the ring so I get away from it a little while.
Boy, dude is whipped.
Yeah. So it should be interesting to see how that plays out. But it's going to be great. It's going to be a serious, you know, Poirier versus Hooker is that serious implications for the 155 division. So it's going to be a great night of fights, and hopefully a lot of people come out and join us.
Yeah. Lance McCullough is going to be there Saturday night. Let's give away some tickets right now. All right, 713-780-3776. Caller number 10 is going to get two tickets to watch Lance and Carlos do their walkout podcast live at Warehouse Live. Doors open at 3. Fights start at 4. And so if you want to get on over there, wear a mask, be safe, social distance. They're only going to allow a certain number of people in there. So you're going to keep with the standards and the regulations that are going on. Warehouse Live is. So get in if you want. 713-780-3776, caller number 10. Lance, I can't. I'm getting excited. I was, you know, the whole off season has been really tumultuous, and there was a lot of turmoil, and there was a lot of you know, hard feelings on both sides with you guys and the owners and everything else. But it's worked out. And now I think baseball, and hopefully, you know, we're going to get some great baseball, and it's all going to be so much more important every single game. So I think that all of that stuff, hopefully all that stuff will be put aside, and we'll have a great baseball season.
Yeah, I think people should look at it as like kind of like a if you go all the way during this season, you'll be playing like 85-ish games. So it's like an 85-game postseason that everyone gets to be watching. But I wouldn't really say it's hard feelings. I would say that both sides kind of had the things that they felt were important to them, and they kind of stuck to it. And at the end, you know, we got baseball back, which is the most important thing. So I know I'm excited, and a lot of the other guys are excited, and hopefully we can get some fans in there in Minute Maid Park. So, you know, I haven't heard a crowd cheer in quite a long time. So it would be nice to have some fans there.
Well, because Bregman is a notoriously slow starter. And in a 60-game season, it's going to be any extended slumps are going to be totally exaggerated. How do you look at the box against you?
Yeah, well, that's what he told me. He called me when it got announced, and he was like, "Yo, I need you to show up to Minute Maid on Wednesday, like game face. Like, I don't want to. We don't need to talk. Like, I want you to show up. And I want to go after it against you." So he looks good. His pitch recognition is right where it needs to be, and his timing, I'm sure, throughout spring as we're going to. You know, be facing a lot of these, a lot of pitchers, and the hitters will be getting a lot of at bats. It won't be necessarily game, like in a game, but I think ultimately during these 3 weeks we got coming up, I think these hitters are actually going to be seeing live pitching more than usual spring training. Because typically you show up to camp, hitters maybe see one day of lives float into the games. We play 22, 23 games, and they may play 16 of them, and they get two or three at bats per game. So there's a case to be made that in this 3 week escalated spring training, guys may be actually facing live pitching more often. So I think the hitters should be ready to go as well.
Good stuff. Lance McCullers right here on ESPN 97.5. He's going to be at Warehouse Live with his walkout podcast with Carlos Correa, and you can buy tickets at warehouselive.com. But we'll be giving more away here on the show. We just gave away a couple, and we'll be giving away more. Man, we are looking forward to it, Lance. We're looking forward to seeing you back on the mound. I bet you're, after all the weight that you've had, and you had to wait this much longer, you must be chomping.
Yeah, it's been a long time, man. So I'm just holding my breath now that everything, you know, goes well and everyone gets to their individual city safe, and we get a season.
Real quick before we let you go, anything new we should expect to see from you in terms of types of pitches or how you're throwing? Was anything did you have to change anything fundamentally in terms of how you deliver a baseball, or is everything fine?
Well, I know. I mean, I didn't. I've been trying to clean things up here and there. It's always a work in progress. I think everyone wants to make adjustments in that regard. But yeah, I think my pitch types will be mixed up a little bit more than people are used to seeing. I've got some stuff that I've been working on. So You know, I think that you guys will just have to tune in and find out.
You know, a lot of guys, some people say, you know what, kids young should get the Tommy John surgery because you're better afterwards. How does it feel? Do you feel as strong as ever, or what's the deal?
No, I feel as strong as ever. There's no doubt. I mean, I can tell my workouts and my lifts and just the way I'm recovering. You know, when I would pitch before, when I had the torn UCL, it took a toll kind of on the rest of my body when I would pitch. I'd wake up, you know, and the next days, and I would different parts of my body would really be feeling it. And then I noticed in spring training that wasn't really the case. I didn't have, you know, a whole lot of shoulder soreness. I wasn't dealing with any back, you know, issues or soreness that I was accustomed to dealing with just because, you know, pitching with, I mean, imagine trying to play basketball on a torn ACL. I mean, over time, your ankles are going to hurt, your hips are going to hurt. I mean, your back's going to hurt. So it's a chain, you know, it's a butterfly effect of, you know, just different things that, you know, start popping up. So I noticed in spring that, man, my body feels really good. And then I've noticed throughout, you know, the quarantine with me continuously throwing lives against hitters that I've been recovering. So a lot of guys say around like the 30 month mark is when you really kind of take off. So, you know, we're not too far from that.
Good stuff. That's great to hear, man. We are looking forward to it, Lance. Can't wait to see you back on the mound. We appreciate you being with us, and have fun Saturday night as well, watching the fights and doing the podcast.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. There's Lance McCullers right here on ESPN 97.5. 902. Let's take a quick one. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.